This is Twit.
Renee's got his review up. Almost all the best for way, way less. $250 less than an iPhone XS. $350 bucks less than a XS Max. But it sits right in the middle, right, size-wise.
Yeah, and Gruber did some math pointing out that you can get a 128-gigabyte version of the XR and not of the XS. So if you're just a little over 64 but don't want to pony up for the 256, you can save even more money just by going with the 128.
So they don't offer a 128 in the XS sizes.
Yeah. They go to 256 and then 512, which is like half a terabyte in your pocket.
Yeah, and I never – honestly, 64 is probably enough for everything I do. Most
it depends how much 4K and stuff like that that you shoot. So
yeah, and if you use the iCloud photo and if you don't put 100 books on there in your entire music library, 64 gigs is a huge
amount of data. Your 19 Metallica original sound. I'm not pointing at Jim Dalrymple specifically, but some people like having all their music with them.
Some people want it all want to stream it. I understand that.
Nice hunk of glass.
Okay, show us. Let's see. So it is it is glass back.
Yes. The front glass is exactly the same as the iPhone XS. The back glass is somewhere in between the 10 and the XS. It's stronger than the 10, not quite as strong as the XS.
Now, some people said that the bezels were unsightly compared to the XS.
They're not unsightly. They're just
bad
a little
me.
Bit bigger. Here, I turn on the flashlight somehow. That's great. Haptic touch to the rescue. There we go.
You can see
they are
them,
slightly bigger.
If you're coming, and it's an LCD, not an OLED, but if you're coming from an iPhone 6, 7, or 8, you're not going to notice that.
No, not at all. I mean, if I hold up one of these next to it, close. I keep getting beta things today, Leo. It's my beta day.
And one
so
of
if
the,
I hold up this next to it, it's nothing of the same.
Yeah. You do get a notch.
There's a hard.
But yeah, I mean.
Yes.
And by the way, you're getting all of the internals of the XS.
It's rather interesting because Apple, according to Wall Street, Apple's only job is to sell more iPhones or to sell more expensive iPhones. And they've been doing that with the Plus and with the 10 line. They've been really raising average sales prices. And now with the 10R, I mean, some people are likening it to the iPhone 5C, but that did not have Touch ID. It had the previous generation processor. It really was an iPhone 5, not an iPhone 5S. The iPhone 10R is an iPhone 10. It has the same processor, same true depth camera, same wide angle camera on the back. It is much closer to an iPhone XS than it is an iPhone X. And that could, $250 cheaper, that could really skew Apple's ASPs down again, which would not make Wall Street happy. But Apple really wants to take the technology that they have in the 10 line and make it accessible to more people. They have this annoying habit that Wall Street hates, which is to try to grow rather than just monetize. And I think it's good long-term thinking, but I think it'll get them yelled at short-term.
Yeah, bravo, and screw Wall Street, because I don't think Wall Street's got their best interests at heart. They just want to cash in as quick as they can.
It's still a $750 phone.
It's not cheap.
That's it. But that said, it's a very, very pleasant sign that Apple has consistently tried to do this, where we feel as though we have a list of price levels that our customers are comfortable with. However, that said, we are going to continue to try to take the features of the higher end phones and bring them into the lower price points. Yeah. So the fact that they decided not to make the iPhone X into a luxury brand, that's here's the $1,000 and up phone always, but simply to say we're going to use this to drop into the one end of this pipeline features that in a year or two's time is going to be in the mainstream $750 phone. That's really, really great.
What, Renee, is missing? What don't you get?
So you don't get the that's gone from all of them.
Long gone, handy.
You don't get the OLED display. You get an LCD display. Apple says it's their best LCD ever. I find it like they're so good at color calibration and color matching. It is, it's traditional iPhone DPI, the same DPI they've had since the iPhone 4, the same DPI they had on the iPhone 8. But you, like in daily use, you really can tell. It doesn't do the inky blacks of OLED and doesn't have the extreme contrast of OLED. So Apple's not advertising it as an HDR panel, even though some LCD TVs say, well, we go brighter, so that counts as HDR. Right. Apple doesn't want to play that game, so they say it's not. Like it'll play HDR 10 and HDR and Dolby Vision content, but it'll do the best job it can, but they're not claiming that it's HDR. So you're missing the panel, and then you're missing the telephoto lens on the back. So you have the exact same wide-angle lens as the iPhone XS, 30% larger with deeper and bigger pixels, and the HDR, the smart HDR feature, but you don't have that 2.4 aperture telephoto lens.
Yeah.
So no 2x optical zoom and no real depth data like you'd get off the true depth camera, off the dual camera system on an iPhone X. They do something very similar to the Google Pixel, which is they use the parallax data from the phase adjust focus system, what Apple calls focus pixels, and they mix that with a segmentation mask. The thing that's really interesting, though, the thing that I spent most of my time asking about and looking into is that Apple had their camera teams go and get a bunch of high-end lenses and cameras, which I'm sure they hated to do, and just shoot the crap out of them and then build up a model, a physical model of what an iPhone lens could be. And it's different between the iPhone XS because that's the telephoto and the iPhone XR because they did it for the wide angle. So taking the same shots, they didn't want to have a perfect sanitized computational lens. They wanted it to be quirky and have a personality, like a real world lens. So the bokeh is not just a disc blur that's layered on top. There's not just like a smooth fill over the back. It actually renders on the silicon this entire world that as much as a computer vision can understand, and like overlapping lights and distortion around the outside, like you'd get with a real lens. And it's hard to describe it, but when you look at what it used to do and what it does now, or what some other phones do, they really do just apply a Gaussian or a disk blur. It's like night and day. It's really, really cool technology.
The other reason people might want it is it's one of those size things. It might be just right. Here's a great image that you took comparing the iPhone X on the left, the iPhone XR on the right, or rather the XS on the left, iPhone XR on the right, and the XS Max on the far right. The middle one is let me start over. In order from left to right, the XS, the XR, and the XS Max. So it's between the two, right?
Yeah, because of the bezels, it's probably closer to the 10 to the Max than it is to the regular size one. But it feels in between. I actually do like it better because I found the Max just a little bit big for me. I was a huge iPhone Plus fan.
Yeah, a lot of people are saying the XS Max is just too big. But I want more than the XS. This is right there, right?
And it has all the features that the XS has that I wish the Max has that I wish the XS has, like display zoom. And when you rotate it sideways, it has a split view controller.
Oh, interesting.
So I really like all that.
Okay. So now I'm presuming you're going to keep your XS Max as your real phone or not.
I ordered the XS Max, but I think George is probably going to just rob me of that, and I'll end up getting a XS because I know a lot of people are saying they're going to go with the XR, that they think it's a much better phone. I really, really like the camera system on the XS. I shoot in 2X all the time, and I like the OLED screen because I'm a complete nerd over HDR. So for me, it's worth the extra $250 to get those two features. I think I'm the exception, not the rule, though, and I think most people will be super happy with the XR.
All the reviews are coming out or came out. The embargo lifted yesterday, but the phone will arrive Friday. I suspect you'll be able to walk into an Apple store and pick one up without pre-ordering. Is that right?
They always do that. They always reserve some stock for in-store because as much as Angela Ahrens wants to move everything to a distribution platform where nobody ever has to wait in the line again, there are some people who just want to show up in the stores that day, and they know if they don't have stock, there'll be a lot of disappointed people. So there's always some stock that's held just for launch day.
But right now, it looks like 1 to 2 weeks if you order pre-order. Yeah. It looks like it'll be 1 to 2 weeks for every version. Is that right?
It went down again this morning. It was further out on a lot of the models earlier this morning, and it went down again.
T-Mobile went right away, but Verizon, which is probably in the U.S., the unlocked one you want. Yeah, I'm seeing AT&T and Verizon and T-Mobile all being...
They're all Intel modems now. So like in the old days, if you really wanted a Qualcomm modem, you could go with Verizon. But if you want to use it on Verizon at any point ever, it still behooves you to get the Verizon model.
Oh, is that true? You can't use the non-Verizon models on...
I mean, they're fussy. I think technically you can do anything,
but LTE
whether they'll allow
now.
It on your network or
not. So I ordered my product red version on Verizon because that way I could get it right away. But I think...
I ordered product red too.
If you waited, it's too late. Yeah, I think the red's really pretty. Yeah. But Andy's right. If I can play Pokemon Go, I should probably go straight to the coral.
Or the Pikachu yellow.
Pikachu yellow. It might. Yeah. I'm not saying anything, but it might go with my Halloween costume.
I apologize. I'm a bit spacey. The embargo was 6 a.m. Eastern time, and I literally did not sleep yet. So I'm sort of
6 a.m. today.
Hang in there. Yeah, 6 a.m. this morning.
Oh, man.
3 a.m. Cupertino standard
time. So how many words did you write last night? Jeez.
It wasn't the worst. So the words I got done 2 days ago, but the video took me a lot. The video ended up being like 30 minutes. And it took me a lot longer to edit than I thought it would.
I tell everybody, don't do idio video. Idio. Don't do idio. It just takes too dang long. What kind of car is that?
So that was a little joke because Apple, like they say the letters don't mean anything, but they, you know, an R is a letter they've never used before, but R and S have very special meaning in race
for
cars.
Phil
and Apple,
Schiller.
There's a lot of Apple executives, yeah, who are, I'm not saying he owns a 911 R. I don't have any firsthand knowledge of that, but I thought it would be a nice nod to the sort of aspirational elements of those letters.
Yeah. I think it's a pretty attractive phone. I'm going to stand by my prediction that this will be the best seller of all the new 2018 iPhone.
So I'm so eager to hear what Andy thinks because I was not prepared for the difference in experience that shooting with only the wide angle was, because with the iPhone XS and the 10 and all the other ones, it would immediately throw you into telephoto for portrait and for the zoom and everything. And it was so close. And now it's much further away. So you have to sneaker zoom. But at the same time, because it's not dependent on those two lenses, you can get much closer. You can get further away. Right. And it only recognizes humans. That's a huge thing. You can't portrait mode your, on the front you can, but on the back, you can't portrait mode your beverage, your pet, anything like that. If you can't see a face, it will turn off portrait mode. But within that range, there's a lot more variety. Like I just found the whole experience, especially with the modeling they did for the lenses, almost like I had two new prime lenses and I could switch between them.
Andy is a serious photographer.
That's what I mean. I need a serious photographer's opinion
on
this.
And I'm curious what he thinks.
Yeah, I mean, I can't wait to get my hands on one myself. I probably won't be able to write about it for another month or so.
Yeah,
but Renee has been going on for at least a year about one of the most important aspects of photography these days, that it almost doesn't matter what sensors and lenses you have in a phone now, because it's the computational photography mojo that's going to make or break your photos. That the things that you can do, the proof is really in the pudding now. You just really have to take a look at the pictures and not really worry about whether this device has one lens or two. It took me a while to break my habit of saying, oh, well, I'm never going to use digital zoom because all they do is they blow up the pixels and it just looks ugly. But no, they get as much information off the device as possible to make intelligent decisions about how to fake zoom an image. So it's very, very possible that if you think that you're going to need the telephoto to get the best pictures, that's probably going to be true, but maybe you're not really going to notice the difference between the XR and the XS. So as I've been saying for the past couple of weeks, I think the choice isn't so much between the XR and the XS for me. It's a choice between spending $1,000 and getting an XR with all the bells and whistles, with more storage, with the case that you want, all these really cool things, or whether if you're on a budget, trying to get like sort of the more entry-level experience with the XS. And for now, I'm thinking that the XR plus more storage is going to be the way to go, particularly if you're shooting lots of 4K footage.